Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is a Crowd podcast. Howdy, Deck.
Hello, old friend. How are you on this Sunday? First time for a while.
First time Sundays, yes. First time I've seen you on the Sunday. I mean, obviously, everyone's listening Monday. This isn't live. It's not live. No, but we're Sunday evening. Pondering our weekends. How's your weekend been, Deck?
Weekend's been bloody lovely. The sun came out a little bit. I'm trying to think, you know when someone asks you how was your weekend, and now I'm struggling to remember even a second of it.
Welcome to my world.
Yeah, but what I can tell you is that it was nice. I've got nothing bad to report, I don't think. Went for a run, of course, had a nice run.
How's that
Berlin
going?
Berlin is fast approaching. Going very well. 6 weeks out. 6 weeks today is the Berlin half marathon. So it's very much ramping up now, as everyone on Strava will see. Mm. And Shreds are still going mental. Nice weekend. I think what we're in the last weekend of February. Yeah, and then it's March. Fuck me.
Mm. Well, this is our first HBT since the 5th of Feb. So yeah, it's been a bit quiet, hasn't it?
It's been very quiet.
We had to eke one out before we're in March, I suppose.
Yeah, we couldn't do 3 weeks. People think we'd just sort of shut up shop on these ones and thought, nah. And there is some boxing to discuss. What about you, George? What have you been up to this weekend?
I was down the gym. Sunday morning, down the Dale. Let them run. And then padded a bunch of them. ABAs, I think they call it the ABAs still. The ABAs start next week.
They don't.
So we're still calling it the ABAs. Old money. That's starting next week. So lads are in there sharpening their tools. And I'm looking forward to seeing some of them in action, as well as guys up and down the country, I'm sure, are very much at it. It's Olympic year, isn't it, Dex? So for the amateurs, big year. Even those who are trying to push to get onto a podium sort of type squad, get up there with the GB lads, they might not be in the shot of get into this Olympics, but they'll be very much wanting to be in the mix.
It's the beauty of amateur boxing, isn't it, George? It doesn't stop, it just keeps coming. You don't get these weird weekends where nothing's going on. It's like there's a schedule. You might get a club show, but then it's like the ABAs. Not like professional boxing, which has been a bit sleepy. February, so like we said, February the 5th was after post-disease Buatsi. The weekend after, we did have double shows, a Frank Warren show and a Hearn show. But then the 17th of Feb was dead because of the Fury Usyk postponement. This weekend, there was nothing over here. Mm. Next weekend, there's nothing of note over here. What's going on? What's happening, George? Can you put your finger on it? Is it Saudi impact? What is it? Is it just a coincidence that it's sort of dried up a bit for a few weeks?
Well, maybe February was always historically a little bit quiet, and we've been blessed with this Saudi stuff, so we're expecting a little bit more. You know, I think Buatsi versus Aziz, which was a great fight for early Feb, so we've done well with that. Mm. And there's been a couple more as well in and around that. I'm in Telford on Friday, Deck, for Channel 5, you know, so do not miss that.
Finally, Channel 5's back, because that's been quiet too. Yeah.
Yeah, Channel 5's back.
Yeah, I was just about to say who's on that, because Telford makes me think Liam Davis, but he's boxing March the 16th.
I'm on
that.
Eggington's fighting.
Oh, Eggington against Brassabu. Yeah, that's a good fight.
Mm. You coming?
No, I will not be there. No, there's not enough work in that for us, sadly. But there will be, boxing news will be represented, but it won't be me. Okay, well, that's good. It does feel like the wheels are starting to slowly turn. So that's the Channel 5 show. That'll be a good fight as well.
Yeah, well, we're wrapping weekend up after, following week. Yeah. We've got Joshua.
Oh, yes.
That's Anthony Joshua. He's fighting 0-1.
Prospect.
Ngannou, who pushed in many people's eyes the number one heavyweight in the world to the limit. I think it was a split decision loss in the end, so he was a bit unlucky there. Let's see if he can go one better against Anthony Joshua. Big week. That'll be a big week. There'll be a lot of going on that week, Dick. And then I think we're up and running. You know, we're up and running. We've got the heavyweights at the end of March, so we'll be flying. Yeah. And then loads in between.
There's the big Frank Warren show on the 16th, which is that crazy card with, like I said, Liam Davis is on it. Joe Joyce boxing Cash Alley. Solomon Dakers against David Adlai. Like, it's one of the... Oh, the fight. How could I leave it this late? Maybe the biggest ECM derby in history. Nathan Heaney against Brad Pools for the British middleweight title. Two of our favourite guests we've ever had, Brad Pools and Nathan Heaney, are throwing it down to decide who the premier middleweight in the whole of Great Britain is on that Frank Warren show. But so it is starting to get, the wheels are turning over a touch. Although I think we mentioned Joshua there, that's in Saudi. The fight we're about to talk about now was in Florida, both of those promoted by Eddie Hearn. They're international now, these guys, Frank Warren and Eddie Hearn. It's not just... They're not just putting on shows in Britain. It's shows all over the world. Obviously, Ben Shalom and Sky and Boxer are basically over here. They get going Easter Sunday, which is a bit of a curveball. Really big show, Easter Sunday. We won't talk about that tonight because we've got plenty of time to do that. But I did want to ask you about, George, is Edgar Belanger, who boxed last night at the top of that matchroom card, and he stopped the previously undefeated Poddy McCrory in the sixth round, and he now puts himself in line to face Canelo Alvarez next, because last week, I think it was a Friday, it might have even been as late as the Friday, the WBA officially made that an eliminator, therefore the winner would become mandatory for Canelo, or put number one contender for Canelo with the WBA at super middleweight, and so that is Belanger now. Did you see the fight? This is a guy who was 16-0 at one point with 16 first round knockouts. They dried up. That was his last one was in 2020. He had 5 points wins on the bounce, and now he got his first stoppage since 2020. What did you think of the performance?
Belanger. So he boxed well, didn't he? You know, but he looked solid. I feel like the difference was like when he landed his punches, they just had that much more of an effect. And for those who haven't seen the fight, watch it. And those who don't care about me spoiling the result, keep listening, because he gets the stoppage win, doesn't he? And he's just, in the end, he's just far too accurate at right hand for McCrory to cope with. And he sort of, he doesn't crumble, but he gets hit hard too frequently. And in that round, is it the sixth round, deck that he gets stopped in?
Sixth
round. So he stops him in the sixth, and he sort of, I thought it landed in the chest, like when I watched it, but I think it was just a camera angle. And
it doesn't look like the chin, does it?
Nah, but I think it does. It catches him on the butt, and he sort of goes down the corner, throw the towel in. I think the referee was probably wondering, obviously, you know, an American referee, especially in Florida, I think they're happy to let it go a touch longer. But good win for him. But for me, Deck, I've got to be honest, no one's been talking about him fighting Canelo lately. Like, that feels like it's come out of nowhere for me. Maybe I've just been asleep at the wheel. But you look at his record's good. He's unbeaten. He's you know, makes a lot of sense. But maybe it's just because Canelo's been quiet, or Team Canelo have been quiet. What's that about?
Well, he's Edgar Belanger, that as a result of that win, is 22-0 with 17 knockouts. Like I said, his first 16 fights finished inside the first round, which says a lot about the level of opposition, to be honest. Not necessarily that he's, you know, a small Mike Tyson, but that's... I remember, I won't name the matchmaker, but he told me before, he said I could get anyone in the world to 20-0 with 20 inside the first round if I wanted to, but that's not the point. But anyway, I think the thing with Belanger is Puerto Rican, he's a puncher and he's a super middleweight, and there's not that many options there. He's now with Matchroom, and remember, Matchroom and Eddie Hearn had an association with Canelo, who's now really with PBC, which is Al Heyman's promotional entity. But that was where the kindling got lit in that fight. It was like, okay, we've got Belanger, but they've also got Pacheco and people like that, but it's like, well, we could do Mexico against Puerto Rico. Canelo would have it because he's going to look at Belanger and be like, this guy's not ready for me, 26-year-old, you know, really hasn't boxed anyone at that level. This was a good win, Poddy McCrory. His last win against Jason Quigley as well. It's fringe world level, guys, but he's never had anyone in Canelo's league. Mm. And you might think, if you're Canelo, you go, do you know what? If they're going to pay me and the WBA have ordered it, he's not afraid to take his mandatories, Canelo. He did against Avni Yildirim. He did against John Ryder. He might just look at Belanger and just be like, okay, yeah, I'll deal with that because he hasn't got an opponent for May the 4th. This is one of the problems. He's one of many stars in boxing who still hasn't sort of booked their next move. So we know he's going to box May the 4th and he needs an opponent. And Belanger said, if I win in style, which he did, then I won't fight Canelo. That's in about 10 weeks, I think. 10 weeks? Maybe, yeah, 11 max. Do you really think, George, this is a man who's ready for that sort of fight? Who's ready to have any chance against Canelo?
Well, I mean, at some point you've always got to make that last step, that last jump. And then there'll be a whole load of people saying it's too early for you. And, you know, maybe with a bit of hindsight afterwards, we'll know little bit clearer. But you would like to see him in there with the next level up before a Canelo, surely. But I don't know who that is, Deck. You know, like who are the gatekeepers of the division now? You know, is there, if he's not going to fight a Caleb Plant or he's not going to fight a, you know, who else?
Danny Jacobs, someone like that.
Yeah, but. What's Danny Jacobs doing lately? I haven't heard a lot. Is he still fighting? Yeah. Like,
he might have retired,
active?
But
so that, you know, it would need that. But yeah, I think Canelo thinking mandatory, I'll have him. He does fight his mandatories, but at the same time, it's because he runs out of opponents really, you know, like at times, and it's not that awkward. You know, opponent that generates no money and therefore you get no money. He still gets paid handsomely whether he fights. Or anyone, his mandatories are not. So it's just how it is, you know. Do you think that'll be on the zone with Matchroom then, or is he PBC?
He's PBC, but I'm pretty sure the deal that he signed, which was a 3-fight deal, as far as I know, but this all seems to have now been actually changed. But it might have been with Showtime, and he'd had one fight on Showtime, and that was Jermell Charlo last year, September. Showtime have now gone. And now Al Haymon's fighters, PBC, are going to be on Prime Video, Amazon Prime. So then I don't know if that muddies the waters with the contract and he's not actually under contract to fight on Prime or PBC. Or maybe Hearn's like, we'll let Belanger fight on Prime. If you're Al Haymon, you want your biggest names on the new platform, which is Amazon Prime. So it's all TBC. I'm pretty sure Belanger doesn't really have much bargaining power. He'll just be like, I'll do whatever you say, as in I'll go fight where it is. I just want the fight. I think these guys as well will be looking at it, maybe looking at Canelo and being like, he might not have that long left. He might not have that many fights. And there's not massive money behind him once he's gone. Where's the massive money? Belanger could make serious money being the B side and accepting all that. So maybe the reason this has become a little bit more likely, George, is because David Benavidez, which was WBC's mandatory challenger, although he was never called as mandatory by the WBC, which is very disappointing, is now going to be moving up to light heavyweight to fight Oleksandr Vodzik, who's himself a very good fighter, but up at light heavy. So the Mexican monster, who we all wanted to see box Canelo, that was my number one fight I wanted to see in boxing. It's not happening next, definitely. And it might never happen again. If you're Benavidez, you ain't getting but down to super middleweight again, are you?
No, I mean, is it just that time has come, he can't make that weight no more?
I don't think it's that. I think he's just, they've basically been told by Canelo, it won't be this year. And he's like, what the fuck am I going to do at super middle now without Canelo? I'll just go and do my own thing. And then the WBC, who refused so far to call him as a mandatory. So once you're called as a mandatory, you have to make a deal to fight. And then if you don't, Canelo would relinquish and Benavidez would get the belt. Like, we know there'll be a purse bid, etc. But they haven't done that. So they put no pressure on Canelo. Instead, They've told Benavidez and Vodzik, if you fight, it's going to be for the WBC interim light heavyweight title. Therefore, the winner will be in line to fight the winner of Artur Beterbiev and Dmitry Bivol. All of a sudden, the pressure for Canelo to fight Benavidez is gone completely. Mm. He's gone up a weight and Canelo's like, sweet, I'll see what I've got left. And that's why the Belanga fight becomes a little bit more likely. There's also talk of Terence Crawford on May the 4th. There's talk of Jamal Charlo, the other twin, the bigger twin. And he's just done a number on Jamel. It's like, do you really want to watch him box Jamal, the other twin? I mean, I don't think I do. Do you?
No, I don't know. No. I don't really want to see him fight Crawford on 10 weeks' notice. Like,
yeah.
But anger it is.
Yeah, it might just land... But it might just lang on Edgar Belanga, Swanger Belanga. But we'll see. Shame about Benavidez, though. Do you think that might be gone forever? Like, if you were going up, say when you were 26 or 7, and like, oh, I'll go up at light heavyweight now, would you go back again? Would you go down again? It's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, it's hard. He's a big guy, isn't he? He's a huge guy. Ooh. I mean, it's incredible. He makes the weight to start with. So I can't see him. If he lingers heavy for too long, he won't be able to get it back off. I don't think, you know, it doesn't matter how much money they set aside for you, it's just impossible, you know. So I think that'll be it. But yeah, you know, light heavyweights sort of seem tied up, don't they? These two, Beterbiev, Bivol, they're gonna fight each other. No doubt they're gonna fight again. So that's this year done. So maybe he just thinks, fuck making super middleweight for a year. I'll just make like heavyweight for a year. Still not going to get a world title fight, but at least I've got another 7 pounds to play with or whatever the difference is. Yeah. But Belanga's good. I mean,
he can punch.
He's got a good record. Looks the part, you know. And at this stage, for Canelo, like how many more fights he got? How long has he got? So, he's got his date. He's going to want to fulfill it. He's not going to want to delay it or mess about with it. So, and now might be the time. That might be the perfect fight for Amazon Prime. Prime viewers.
Indeed. Just one more show on Saturday, George, I wanted to draw our attention to. We won't go over it too much, but many of our listeners will have heard the name Junto Nakatani before. Many of them won't. But this guy, George, right? Mm. He is 26 years old. 26. He went on Saturday, he went 27-0 with 20 knockouts by stopping Alexandro Santiago. That victory also gleaned the WBC bantamweight title, which is the third weight class he's won a world title in. He's 26 and he's won world titles in three weights already. Mm. And that was only the sixth fight of his career that was scheduled for 12 rounds. So the only the sixth championship level fight. And he's a three-weight world champion at the age of 26, 27-0. He's walking highlight reel as well. He's so exciting. Mm. It's mental. Mad things going on in Japan. I think they've got about 9 or 10 world champions.
Yeah, they do. I mean, they're all tiny, aren't they? So,
yeah, I mean, he's bantamweight champion. And Inoue is a super bantamweight champion, of course. He's already done the business at bantam.
But you're wondering, they're surely on the collision course now, aren't they? Like, just on the records and the size and the fact that, well, it's a domestic dust-up deck. Can you believe it?
I mean, Junto Nakatani is a bantamweight. And like I said, he's gone up through the weights. Inoue is super bantam, but he's gone up through the weights. Mm. That could be, like, if they both keep winning, which they probably will, I mean, I don't know where they'd meet, I guess, super bantam.
Middle.
It could be at middle, yeah. Just say no, anything you want, come in however heavy you want. It could be one of the biggest fights to be made in the whole of boxing. And it's two Japanese guys.
Yeah.
It just shows the swell of not just quality, because they've always had quality there, but it is such a like powerful market at the moment, Japanese boxing. I mean, Inoue is now, you know, with ESPN and Top Rank over there, which is massive. Mm. I mean, yeah, Nakatani Inoue could be absolutely ridiculous. Who would have thought it?
We didn't talk
about it. We might have to go over there.
Yeah. We didn't talk about it, Deck. But and I don't know an awful lot about it, so enlighten me and therefore enlighten the listeners. What is the Japanese prize fighter that's going on, and you win like $1 million rather than like £36,000, you get $1 million. Is it three fights in a night, or is it over the course of
No, so they're not allowed, the Japanese, so that was the idea. So this is Matchroom thing. So Matchroom obviously were the ones who used to do Prize Fighter, the one that Audley Harrison won three times, I think, you know, famous great nights at York Hall and wherever else where you box the quarterfinals, semi and the final, the three rounders in the same night. But Frank Smith and Matchroom have rekindled it. Frank Smith in particular, not Eddie Hearn. Frank was the one that went to Japan, did the deal. But because of their laws, their rules, their combat rules, you're not allowed to do more than one professional fight in a night. Like you can't win and then, you know, have a drink and then go and fight someone else. So this is going to be more like the Super Series in that you win and then you go forward. But all the quarterfinals will be on the same night and then the semis and the final. There's eight fighters, of course. And if you win your three fights, you will in total bank $1 million. So it's mad prize money for the level over there. In fact, in that eight, three British fighters, or two British, one Irish, Kieran Conway, Mark Dickinson, and Steve McKenna, or is it Aaron McKenna? One of the McKenna's brothers. Sorry, you two. One of them's over there. But you get $1 million if you win the whole thing. For boxers at that level, it's insane.
Can they do it over the weekend? Can they do like Thursday, Friday, Saturday?
No, I don't know exactly how long there's going to be between the nights. I would assume a couple of months or whatever. The problem is always if someone gets injured, someone gets cut.
Yeah.
And I'm talking Super Series, but also the Super Six back in the day that went on for ages. This is not going to go on for ages, but it can't go over the same night. I spoke to Frank Smith about it, and he's obviously very excited. And to get $1 million prize pot is nuts. Japan are making big moves. There's a Japanese middleweight, so the equivalent of the British middleweight title, the Japanese middleweight title is being fought for in one of the quarterfinals, which is quite cool. And then those three guys are in the other ones. And it could be, Japan are making moves, and big up Frank Smith for nailing that little deal.
Yes, well done, Frank.
Well done, Frank. Should we have a breather there, George? Because a couple of other bits of news. And there's a fight that will not be happening, a mega fight will not be happening, including a Brit. But we'll talk about that in a sec.
Right, Deck, we are back.
Yes.
So, Canelo, we got no clear route yet.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know anything about Terence Crawford, do we?
Nope.
Right. Deontay Wilder? Is he?
Nope.
No, right, no. Javonte Davis?
Now, Javonte Davis, I'm glad you asked. So there is a little update on Javonte Davis, kind of. Remember last time we did the How About That, George? Is I said, I reckon we might see Javonte Davis against Conor Benn.
You did.
Well, not for the first time. I was wrong, because that was back in, remember when, you can never forget it, Conor Benn beat Peter Dobson in the Cosmopolitan, the Chelsea Ballroom at the Cosmopolitan Hotel in Las Vegas.
Scouser.
And then after that, the big Scouser, Tony Dodson. After that, they went on Twitter back and forth, and it looked like it might happen. He was calling him Javumpa Lumper and stuff like that. Javumpa Lumper. And Davis was like, send an offer, speak to Eddie, blah, blah, blah. Conor Benn spoke to Eddie, actually didn't. Eddie saw it on Twitter, obviously, and got in touch with Javonte Davis. And it was like, oh, hello, because then there was a story that Davis was going to box in the summer. And it was like, okay, this could all fall into place. Lovely.
Lovely.
Anyway, as is customary for Javonte Davis, he screen grabbed the email that was sent from Eddie Hearn with the offer, with the caption, 25 million where? And in the email, it said, I would like to offer you, this is Eddie Hearn, speaking to what looked like, it wasn't directly to Davis, it would have been someone at PBC. I would like to offer you $10 million plus an upside on the gate and pay-per-view, which, to be honest, upside on the gate and pay-per-view in a fight like that would be pretty vast. So you might double that. Anyway, Davis quote tweeted it saying 25 million, where Eddie Hearn said he's turned down the offer. But it was fun while it lasted, wasn't it? That idea of Gervonta Davis against Conor Benn.
Yeah, a big sigh of relief from Eddie Hearn there. He didn't want that. Did he? He didn't want to have to shovel out that 10 mil, especially when he knows he's getting screen grabbed and shot into the public domain. Yeah, I mean, that's good money, isn't it? That's really good money. Is he getting money elsewhere? $10 million for Conor Benn?
I think
he's
never
had a world title fight. He's given away a bit of size, but.
Yeah, no, I think Gervonta Davis is getting that. And more. He got the Ryan Garcia fight generated $100 million, over $100 million. So he probably wanted at least 25, and he's got 10 plus upside, and he's like, meh. But I thought he might just take it.
I didn't know that the Ryan Garcia fight made that much. So that's
it was
incredible.
A beast. He's a massive draw, isn't he? He's turned into one of, if not the biggest name on PBC, like outside of Canelo. They still haven't got a fight for him, though. He's going to be one of the cornerstones, you would think, of the new venture on Prime. Mm. But it ain't going to be against Conor Benn. And like you say there, a smaller guy, non-world title fight, take the money. But I don't think he's going to do it.
So what's Conor Benn thinking now?
Well, now, believe it or not, it looks like Conor Benn might fight Danny Garcia in a 154-pound fight. 35-year-old Danny Garcia, who obviously we know him very well over here, and he's still going. He's actually 2-0 against Brits, George, because he beat Ashley Theophane 14 years ago, and he beat Amir Khan 12 years ago. Right. So he could go 3-0 against Conor Benn. What do you think? I mean, what do you think about this sort of the latter stage of Danny Garcia, that version what we're on, probably 6.0?
Yeah.
Do you reckon Conor Benn beats him?
I mean, I'm just gonna have a quick. I'm gonna rack my brain and see. Has he boxed anyone since he boxed Amir Khan 12 years ago? Right?
Because he's had some big fights.
I mean, yeah. So when did he box Spence? He got beat on points at Spence. So that's got to be.
That was 2020. So that was like. But it was the end of it.
Yeah. And then he's had. Oh, he's had one fight since then, a majority win. Against Benavidez, but that was up at 150 odd plus pounds.
Yeah, like middle. So that's Jose Benavidez, so not David.
But that's nearly 2 years ago. So
that's what I mean.
Ain't boxed for 2 years. That's not ideal. And then it's a good fight. It's a good name for Conor Benn. But does it really tell us anything if he does a job on Danny Garcia? It's like it's not someone who's flying high and current, you know, who had a fire performance, you know, the end of last year, and he's looking for a big fight. So I'll be interested in it, but I don't think it's going to give us what we need to know about Conor Benn. In my opinion, I think we want to see. A little bit more.
Interestingly, in that email offer, I'm pretty sure I'm right in saying that it said we would look to do the fight in the US, which is obviously at odds with the idea of Davis boxing in England or Conor Benn being allowed to box in England again, because that is still ongoing. Mm. So then you look at the options and you're like, Danny Garcia is a big name. Like casual fans in America would be like, Danny Garcia, oh yeah, I know him. Like I'll go and watch him. He knocks people out. So they're probably looking at that. It's a name in that sense, when it comes to matchmaking. But I think you're right. He's also not a welterweight anymore. Neither's Ben, though, you could argue.
Yeah.
I think it would sell quite well, actually, for if you look at the options available. And if Ben absolutely smokes him in a few rounds, like that would be quite a big statement. It would make a bit of noise in America.
Well, yeah, because Garcia's got that name, you know, and he's... Mm. He was always a very good fighter, always comes very entertaining. But I'm trying to think who just might be a better fight right now for him.
I want to see Josh Kelly fight.
Do you think, yeah? That's a good fight.
I just don't think it's gonna happen over. I just don't know what's happening with the stuff with the board and that and
he ain't gonna box over here. I can see. It doesn't generate that sort of money, does it? Josh Kelly fight. It's not like Eubank. So Kelly will price himself out of the fight. And I mean, when I think of Kelly, I think of Avanesian. I think he boxed the end of last year. that's the sort of test. If Conor Benn did a job on Avanesian, then I think, that's his acid test. That's his, he deserves a shot at one of the big boys then. But up until then, I think he's going to fall into that category. If you match him against too many sort of past their best names, you're inviting people just to call you on it, Sometimes you'll have a world keeper, like a world gatekeeper at the top, but you're not chasing that big name as such who hasn't boxed in 2 years, So, I don't know. We shall see. I want the Davis fight. Fucking make the Davis fight. Eddie Earn should go back to him and say, listen, we have Davis.
We'll give you 25 guarantee.
Yeah. We'll give him a shot. Thing is that 25 and then we'll give him a slice on the podcast as well. He can have his own little guest slot.
Let's not give that away too quickly. We'll talk about that. We'll talk to Neil Sibley about that. But it just goes to show, this is the thing with Saudi. They just pay. Whereas Hearn's like 10 million plus the upside and invites a negotiation. The difference now in Saudi in boxing is just like, this is what you get and it's massive, take it. And then everyone says yes.
Yeah.
So it is a shifting marketplace. Speaking of a shifting marketplace, George. This podcast is shifting from audio and visual only to IRL, three-dimensional person live performance, isn't it? On May the 22nd.
Well, if you're trying to confuse us all, but state that we're going to do a live podcast recording, then yes, we are, Deck. We are.
Yes.
And it's not like we and you are going to sit like in a booth with headphones on and a mic and people are going to watch us through a glass window.
Wait, there's no booth.
Like Jurassic Park. It's more like an actual live show. So us up on stage, entertaining the masses with our podcast type shit.
Yeah. And we got Carl the Cobra because we're looking back on 10 years since Wembley, the night that changed British boxing forever, which is what they're going to say about the live show, actually, I think, in years to come. They'll go, that was the night that changed British boxing forever. Yeah. May the 22nd at the Shepherd's Bush Empire.
I can see it now. Yeah, there will be a Netflix sort of docu-series looking back, and there will be loads of people who've probably got nothing to do with the show, but they'll just be, they're current at the time, so they'll be just telling, what they thought, it meant. And obviously it was just monumental. So you'll get...
It's like... Have you seen the Fire Festival? The Fire Festival doc.
Yeah,
it's gonna be pure Netflix. Where it would be like the first frame of it, the first scene will be you sitting down in like a darkened room and like putting your lapel mic on.
Yeah,
and like everyone's shut, and the light comes on, and then the question's just like, so what the hell happened at that live show? It's gonna be a moment in time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you just laugh, and then it cuts to the sort of. The montage.
It's gonna be absolutely incredible. It's indescribable. So you just kind of got to be there.
You got to be there.
Be there or be square. You got to be in it to win it. So we are gonna. There's gonna be lots of fun and games. I mean, there ain't gonna be one feature. It's gonna be feature upon features.
Features galore.
Features galore. Lots of Lots of prizes up for grabs. It might be like an episode of Funhouse. Do you remember Funhouse?
Of course I do. Yeah. Prizes to be won.
Yeah.
Whole lot of fun.
Whole lot of fun.
Is that Dave Benson Phillips?
Pat Sharp. He'll be in the Netflix series.
But the beauty of it is, George, is that it's just motoring along nicely in the background. We're not resting on our laurels. In fact, today, this podcast, this episode... is the first of a three-pod week, a lesser-spotted thruple. We haven't had one for a while, but this is one of them. In fact, it's a quad, because the Seeing Stars episode we've got is a two-parter. So we're actually hitting you with four bloody pods this week.
Yeah.
Who would have thought it? Who have we got Wednesday?
Wednesday we have someone you look up to. So just like I had Sly's post.
Which is really, really tall, is he?
Yeah. He's got to be really tall for you to look up to him. I had Sly's Rocky poster up on the wall, you had this man's poster up on your wall growing up there.
I had his book on the shelf.
Yeah. I'm going to get a blown up poster for you of the book that Don McRae wrote. wrote. Rit. Is it Donald or Don? We call him Don. The Don McRae is on the pod, so he's finally got him in. And this is he reminds me of you, Deck, because he writes about boxing, but he does it in
really well.
Yeah, in award-winning fashion.
Yeah, I'll just fucking get it out.
We can even beat boxing news to a podcast awards.
Just you wait, next year.
Yeah.
Don McRae, he's a award-winning author, maybe the most esteemed living boxing author there is at the moment. Certainly up, right up there with incredible books. Many of our listeners would have listened to them before. Would have read them before. Mm. And we're going to get to the bottom of that. And hear how you become an author of that esteem. And now he's a journalist as well. Like, he has always been a journalist, but he writes books, he writes writes articles, doesn't write features for the podcast though. You wrote the feature for this podcast, so we'll see how he gets on there. So yeah, I'm very excited about that. One of my idols as an author and as a writer, so can't wait to get him in. On Friday then, George.
Yep.
We've got a very special Seeing Stars episode because this is the first celebrity guest we've had who can box, who can fight, who can actually fight, which is going to be very interesting to hear a celeb, an actual actor, a very accomplished actor, one of Britain's best, much loved actors, but believe it or not, George, he's a former junior ABA champion.
Yeah, it is, of course, Johnny Harris.
The one and only.
One and only. So where would you have spotted him first? It might have been in This Is England. Is that one of his most iconic characters? He's been in so many good things, Deck. London to Brighton's one that people might not have seen.
Legendary, that is.
Great film. But as you say, Deck, a former junior ABA champion, boxed out of the lodge, and one of his best roles is actually a film that he wrote, Jawbone, which is just a great film. I got to the premiere for it, and he was training.
What a film.
He was training with Shane McGuigan and a little bit with Barry, I suppose, to get himself back in shape for that movie. Which is a great film. So Johnny's kindly come on the show. He's joined the club and he's telling us what it's like to be an actor, but also with a first love of boxing. And he speaks quite sweetly and eloquently, doesn't he? You know, philosophically, very artistic.
He can basically put it into words what everyone's thinking. And I would say if you've heard that and gone, oh yeah, I fancy a bit of that, but you haven't seen Jawbone, I would suggest you've got a week now before it comes out. A little bit of homework. Go and watch Jawbone, because this podcast is going to make a lot more sense. It will really resonate once you've seen the film. If you haven't seen Jawbone yet, it's also got, I think, the best fight scenes ever in a boxing movie. They've nailed it, which is not easy to do, as we've seen throughout history. But go and watch Jawbone so you've got that in the locker, and then you'll understand a lot more about what the crack is with that film after listening to this two-parter with Big Johnny Harris, who's also got something else coming out, George. Gentleman in Moscow, which is just about to drop.
Is it a boxing movie? Released.
Sadly not, no.
He's one of the dwarfs in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
No, Snow White and the Huntsman.
Yeah, but that's what it's actually called. But he is actually a dwarf in it.
And him and Ray Winston.
Him, Ray Winston. They're really small.
We didn't actually ask him about that, but we asked him a lot about boxing. So that's the free pod week, George. We're motoring. Don't matter if there's no boxing going on over here, because we're still going.
We're still going. We're picking up slack.
Very much so.
Working very hard, yes.
And of course, if you have any ideas for the live show, I've had people getting in touch about feature ideas and stuff on Instagram.
Any good?
Nothing that's shaking the room yet. Topped any of your ideas yet. So they have to be better than yours to have a sniff. But we want to hear what you want to do, what you might think could work, what you want to see on the night. Because we're basically, it's open. We got blank canvas. It's our first ever one. We can do what we bloody like. We haven't been shut down yet.
So what I'm thinking about is I'm going to obviously put into words, like script, the entire second half of the rivalry, basically since like since Manchester to Wembley. But then I'm going to write it in a Shakespearean sort of wording.
So, yeah, and we're all going to be dressed as dwarfs.
Yeah, dwarfs, but, you know, period dwarfs.
Yeah.
The only type. And, yeah, thou shall not push me or pull thy frotch. Yeah. Something like that, you know.
Yeah, that's a good idea. If you've got anything better than that, which is going to be hard, you can email us ggboxingclub@crowdnetwork.co.uk, or even easier is just hit us on the socials, George. What's the handle?
The handle is @ggboxingclub. Right, it's on Instagram, we're on Twitter, we're on TikTok. Twitter's now X, so you might be like, fucking what, X, right, we're there. You can hit us up. There's a trio of links, get you everywhere, get your tickets to the show. Don't miss out on them. You want them right now, they're selling out. You could link, if you want to get merched up, you know, you might, I think we still got some stuff left on there. If you want to buy some stuff, we love it when you buy stuff, it's exciting. You can listen to our playlist, The Ringwalk, that's on Spotify. Shout out Spotify, that's on there. So we're doing really well. I'm not sure, do we still give people an option if they want to listen advertisement free?
Oh yeah, absolutely, of course. If you'd hate the ads, you just get on Amazon Music. Couldn't be easier. And that'll see you right, Spotify for the playlist. And I'll see you Wednesday for audio in the morning, and in the evening is going to be YouTube, of course. And, of course, all our previous episodes, including the Ben Whitaker episodes, on YouTube from last week. And that is a banger. So if you haven't watched it or listened to it, you've got both options now. But I'll see you Wednesday, bright and early, George, to speak to the Don himself.
See you, Deck.
See ya.